This evening, what are we going to talk about this evening? Well, he's been impressing something in my heart. It's about prayer. And it's about, and I'm thinking back now to, you know, quite a few years ago. I remember finding myself, and you might be able to identify with this, asking for things from God that really, when I looked in the Word, they already belonged to me. I'm going to say that again. Asking God for things that already were mine. They were already mine. So why was I asking for them? I want you to think about this. If somebody gives you something and tells you that it's yours, do you have to ask them as if they would say yes or no after the fact, after they've already told you this is yours? Do you have to ask them with the idea, well, maybe they'll say yes or maybe they'll say no? If it's yours and they already gave it to you, asking for it in the way that I found myself asking was just totally no faith at all. He had already told me in his word, these things belong to you. This is who you are now, Mark. And here I was running up to him, asking him to give me the things that he had already told me in his word. No, that's yours. I've already given it to you. And then I sit there and wondered why I wasn't seeing results to my prayers. It's because the faith that's in the word that told me those things were already mine, that faith was not in my heart. You hear me? That faith was not there in my heart. The reality of who God had already made me in Jesus was not in my heart. So I found myself at times going to him, asking him, and I believe most of the Christian world is guilty of this, going to him, asking him for things that, in effect, he's already done everything possible to make it ours. And we're running to him, say, please give this to me. Please give this to me. Thinking that prayer is the right prayer to pray. And then we don't see results. People end up dying. And we're saying, what's wrong with my praying? Why am I not getting the results that I think I'm supposed to have? And I see some confused looks on your faces. It'll clear up as I go along. Don't worry. So we're going to start out. We're going to start out in Mark chapter 4. I think one of the things that brought me back to this, and I mentioned it in one of the more recent messages that I preached, there was a time, and I remember it so clearly in my mind, when in the process of going through all of the treatment that Debbie had, and she was so sick and she was just barely keeping it together, and I was barely keeping it together. And I remember going to the Lord and almost begging him to heal her. And all the time, the Word of God says that he bore her sickness and carried her pain. And by his stripes, she was healed. She is healed. She is healed. Asking him to heal her when he already told us in his word, healing is an accomplished fact. Going to him and asking him to do something that's already an accomplished fact, there's no faith in it. There's nothing for us to put our faith in. The word says that by his stripes we are healed. So what I need to do, and what I needed to do then, was to develop my faith that she's already healed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Not run to God asking him to heal her, but to get a picture inside of me, she's already healed. Because that's what the Word of God says. And for me to go to him and continue to ask him is just zero faith. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm not telling you not to come to a prayer line and get prayed for. That's not what I'm saying. But I am going to say this. When I first got saved, I was a baby Christian. You know, babies, they run around, they ask for a whole bunch of stuff. God's so wonderful, he gives them things. But there's a time when I had to grow up. And my prayers and the way that I approached God and the way that my faith operated had to mature. I had to follow what he said in his word, what he had told me, that he had made me. I had to find that out for myself, develop faith in those areas, have the maturity so that I wasn't continuing to run to him like a five-year-old all the time and ask him for things that were already mine. Can you imagine your child growing up and still asking you for things, and all the time you've already given it to him, and the parent looks at the child thinking, is there something wrong with you? I've already given you that, and you continue to ask me for it, and it's already yours. Is there something wrong with you? And all the time, I think that's what Christians are doing. And I think it's, and I look at it, I'm trying to figure out, well, why is that? And a lot of it is this word, and it is Mark chapter 4. The reality of that has not been birthed inside of us. So let's look at it. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to begin. I'll just start reading in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into his ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, that's the seed, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So I'm going to stop there. So we have the three kinds of ground. We have the wayside, we have the stony, and we have the thorns. Now, we all know that the seed itself, there was no problem with the seed. Now, we drove through Indiana. Indiana, this time of the year, is a lot of farmland. When you look out over the horizon, you see a lot of crops going into the field. A lot of seed going into the field. They're getting the ground ready, preparing the ground, tilling it up. A lot of corn goes in the ground there, soybeans, that type of thing. So if you take a perfect seed and you plant that perfect seed into the perfect soil, you give it the right amount of light, the right amount of water, you're going to end up getting the harvest that you desire. Now, if something were to happen, let's say there's a drought, and so you don't get quite the amount of water that you want. Instead of getting that optimum yield on that seed, you're going to get something less than that. Okay, you're going to get maybe a 30-fold return. So 30% is your yield. 70% of it, you've lost it. Something happened. Somewhere along the way, there was some adverse condition that caused you to lose 70% of that yield. That could be a variety of different things. You might have storms that come through. You could have floods. You could have droughts. So a lot of different things can happen. But under the perfect condition, that seed will produce, and it'll produce whatever the image is on the inside of it. And you're going to get an optimum yield when all the conditions are perfect. In this situation, in these three here, you've got the wayside, you've got the stony, and you've got the thorns. In each one of these, there was no harvest. There was no harvest. Why? Was it because there was a problem with the seed? No, the seed had no problem. The problem was in the ground and what was in the ground. Now, if we can use this and we can take these examples and we can see an image of, let's say, the born-again experience. These are the, if we take that analogy and we say these are the people that for one reason or another, that seed didn't germinate inside of them and produce a new nature. I want you to look at something. Go over to Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. Pastor Dave said something on a tape that I was listening to. And when he said it, it really shocked me because I never thought about it. You know, when all of a sudden he can say something in such a way and it's like, gee, I never thought of that. And he was talking about these different kinds of soils and the things that were wrong with them. You know, for years I looked at that and I thought, you know, that poor guy that's got the stony ground, that's just the way it is. And all of a sudden he said something. He goes, just because he has it doesn't mean he's going to stay that way. And all, when he said this, like, oh yeah, he doesn't have to stay that way. And then I started thinking, okay, well, for the person who's lost, who's hearing the word of God, and for whatever reason, every time they hear it, it never produces. You know, whether it's wayside ground, whether it's stony ground, whether it's thorny ground, for whatever reason, either the enemy comes in and takes that seed out from the wayside ground, or whether it's choked, whatever the reason, that person, there is still a chance for them. Well, how? Tell me, how does that person have a chance? If their ground, how is their ground ever going to change? Think about that. How is their ground ever going to change? Well, look over here at Luke 13. Chapter 6. There's a little parable here that Jesus gives. Now, he doesn't, he uses a fig tree here in this example. He doesn't use the soil and the seed like he does in Mark 4, but I want you to look at this. He spake also this parable. A certain man, verse 6, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Now, this, if you read this and you think about the children of Israel as this fig tree, that's a perfect analogy and you can use that. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Now look what he says here. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. Now when you're digging about something, are you messing around up in the branches? Where are you messing around at? Down in the soil. He's talking about altering the soil. Now, what is this a picture of? It's a picture of an intercessor. The intercessor is the one that can come and change the soil of a person's heart through their intercession. Think about that. That's what's happening right here. He's saying that this person, this intercessor, has gone and told the man, look, let me dung it, let me dig around it, let me affect the ground, the soil that this fig tree, this fruitless fig tree is in. Let me affect this soil. Let's take that and apply it to the soil back in Mark chapter 4. When you're an intercessor and you're interceding on the behalf of someone, that person who on their own, how are they ever going to get ground that's going to receive a seed? Tell me. How is that ever going to happen on their own? But what God does is he grabs one of you and he says, you pray for this person. You intercede for this person. And as you are doing that, you are affecting the ground in that person's heart. And for the first time I saw it, just because that person has wayside ground at the beginning, that doesn't mean he's doomed for hell forever. Think about that. Somehow there has to be a change inside that person so that he can finally receive seed that will produce a harvest. And that's how it's done. An intercessor gets involved. God speaks to you and he puts this person on your heart, whether it's a family member, whoever it is, and you begin to intercede. And as you're interceding, there is tilling going on until that person is able to receive that seed and manifestation comes and that person is born again. Praise God for that. All right, now I want you to go back. Let's go back to Mark 4 again. We're going to start in verse 8 here. Verse 8 says, and other fell on good ground. Now I want you to look at this. And did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, I don't know about you, but I always want the 100. I want the 100. I don't want to stop at 30. I don't want to stop at 60. I want the 100-fold harvest every time on every seed. Now, how do we get to that place? And what does this have to do with prayer anyway? I'm going to help you out with this. Because I want you to see something that Paul was talking about. I mentioned this a couple of messages ago. Turn back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In this passage, beginning in verse 7, we read about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And I want you specifically to see what happened in verse 8. He said, this is Paul, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now stop there. We all know the story. Talking about the thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord three times. And this is what the Lord showed me. He was asking for something that was already his. Because the response that the Lord gave him was, my grace is sufficient for you. You see that the three times that he went to the Lord, was the Lord saying no? The Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. He wanted Paul to have the revelation to walk through this for the seed of the word to manifest. And he said, along this path, until the manifestation comes, you can trust in my grace. But continue to feed that seed, water that seed, cultivate that seed until you get the manifestation. Now, I want to share this with you. Debbie and I talked about this in great detail after I preached this before. There was a time during this whole process with her health that one day there was hilarious laughter that just bubbled up on the inside of both of us. I will never forget it. Never forget it. Now, after that day, when that hilarious laughter came, and she said from that point, there was a knowing on the inside of her that she had the victory. All right? There was a knowing. She knew from that moment that she had the victory. But here's what really stood out to me. What do you think happened the very next day when she got up? Do you think she got up and every cell in her body was totally made whole? By faith it was. But the reality was, no, it wasn't. Actually, there wasn't a, if I have it correctly, not a whole lot of difference other than the fact that she knew. There was a knowing that she had her healing. But as time progressed and we continued to water that by confessing her healing and saying, Father, you sent your word and healed Debbie and delivered Debbie from all destruction. By saying that over and over and over and over and over, just really until the point where you just got just tired of hearing yourself. But you kept doing it. And you watered that seed and you watered it and you watered it. And the next thing you know, we see a little progress. You know, a few days later, maybe a month later, something positive is beginning to happen in her body. Something happened and one of the doctors was able to do something that he couldn't do before. Was it complete healing at that point? No. Our confession is that it was perfect healing, perfect health. But at that point, there was still more ground for us to get. But what I'm trying to show you is, if you want to see 30, 60, and 100-fold, from that first point, when that revelation began to birth inside of both of us, we both had this hilarious laughter, both of us. And there was a knowing. I mean, we were right at the point at that during those 4 or 5 days. We were right at that point where the doctor was giving up on her. Giving up on her. And right in the middle of that, we have this hilarious laughter. And she has a knowing. Hey, I'm coming out of this. Okay? I'm coming out. There wasn't the full manifestation. Really, there wasn't a big change at that point. But gradually, as we continued to water that, next thing we know, another positive thing happened. Some positive things with her kidneys, with her ureters. They were able to do things with stents and take the stents out. And then more time elapsed. And the next thing was they take a CAT scan and they say, we don't see cancer here. You see, it wasn't just that day. This is the point I'm trying to make. When we had that hilarious laughter, that was like the beginning stage of this full thing, a miracle that we walked out 30-fold, 60-fold, and we are walking out the optimum yield of 100-fold until every cell in her body is totally restored. And we will have it. Now, how does that work with prayer? You see, I want you to see the difference between crying out to God to heal Debbie versus reaching out with your faith and your confession and grabbing what's yours and possessing it. It's a huge difference. If we just prayed, God heal Debbie, God heal Debbie, God heal Debbie, she'd be dead. She would be dead. And God would say, why did you let her die? Here's my word saying, by my stripes she's healed. But you have to take it and put it in your mouth and do something with it until that seed germinates on the inside and begins to produce a harvest. But when it starts, it may only be at 30%, 30-fold. Because there is an enemy that's going to do everything he can. What's he going to use? And I thought about this. What does the enemy use? He doesn't use anything different than he does for the people that had the wayside ground and the thorny ground. Look at this. I want you to see this in your own Bibles. I want you to look. We'll start reading in verse 14 of Mark chapter 4. The sower soweth the word. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, hold your finger there. I want you to go back over 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to see this. I think I'm just going to go ahead and let's see, where should I? I'll start there in verse 8 again. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in what? Persecutions. Let's flip back over. What did it say back over there in chapter 4 of Mark in verse 17? What did he use there? He used afflictions or persecutions arising for what? The word's sake. The devil did the same thing that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4, whenever he sent the messenger of Satan, Paul's thorn in the flesh, it was through persecutions that he went. What did he go for? The word's sake. He went to steal that word out of Paul's heart. However, he could get it out. Why? Because he did not want the revelation to come. He will fight you tooth and nail to keep you from getting that revelation. Because once you have that, can't steal that from you. Can't steal it from you. And all that time, here's Paul. He's got these stonings, beatings, breaking his feet, drowning. All these in an attempt to steal the word from inside of him. Yes, he's got revelation knowledge. Yes, he has it. But the enemy is doing everything to keep him from stepping further. More revelation knowledge. He's trying to stop him, let's say, at 30-fold. Or let's say he's trying to stop him at 60-fold. No, I'm not going to let him get that 100-fold, that optimum yield. I'm going to stop him before he gets to that place. That's where he tries to, that's his MO. He does the same thing with us. Same thing with us. But this is what I really want you to see. It's what we think we're doing when we're praying, when actually what God wants from us is to take His word that tells us that we are who we already are And let that grow inside of us and develop and water that seed through confession and meditating the word until that image erupts and blows up inside of us and we see who we are and who we've become and what he's given us. And then we'll stop going to him and asking him for something that already belongs to us. What in the world is he going to do? You see that? Let's go a little bit further. Let's go back to Mark 4 again. Mark 4 again. Starting again in verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. I will stop right there. If you are at 30-fold, don't stop there. Whatever you do, don't stop there. You know, I think that that's probably one of the biggest traps the enemy has for people once they've seen some success is stopping there, accepting that little bit of a success. You know, it'd be easy for us to say, hey, look, Debbie's alive. Wow, that's great. She's alive. I mean, the doctors, you could sit and ask and they say she'd be dead right now. And we could stop there and just build a little monument and say, look, we've got this victory right here. See this victory? We just make that monument. No, we're going for perfection. We're going for every cell in her body restored to perfect health. Don't settle. Do not settle for minor victories along the way. He wants you to settle for 30-fold. Leave that 70-fold. Don't be happy with where you are. You got 30-fold. You didn't think you'd get that. Just be happy with that. And then you press in a little bit and you get 60. Yeah, look at yourself. You got 60-fold. And you think you need more than that? Just be happy with what you got. Don't press any further. And all the time, you got some crazy maniac enemy doing everything he can, sending all these kind of persecution and afflictions, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, all these things he's trying to get that word from producing anymore. He wants to stop you. Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this, as this is fresh off the press. You are contagious with victory. You're contagious. Do you know how many people just want to talk with her just because she's walked through this? You're contagious with victory. People want to see somebody that didn't die. They want to know. They want to know that this stuff works. They want to know that. And all the time, that devil's trying to hold you back, grab at you, keep that word from producing. What are you going to do? That's the question. What are you going to do? You've got to keep putting the word inside of you. You've got to say it with your mouth. You have to look at it. We have the word, whether it's the Bible or teaching, going on all night long while we sleep on an MP3 player. All night long. Either the word or Pastor Dave or Gary teaching all night long. We sit and listen. Or I sleep, but it's going inside of me. If you're going to win these battles, you've got to get serious about it. Because you got to understand, the devil's serious. He wants you destroyed. He does not want you producing 30, 60, 100. If you're at 60, the last thing he wants is you at 100-fold. The last thing. And he's going to fight you tooth and nail, trying to steal that word out from inside of you, trying to choke it off, get you looking at the cares of this world, have you chase after the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Whatever it is, what are you going to do? You're going to take the word and put it in your mouth. You're going to mortify those things in the body, in the flesh, that the enemy is going to try and come and use against you to choke the word. The end result is he's after the word. He wants to choke it. And whatever you do, whatever you can do to mortify that flesh, to edify, build up yourself. If you're in the middle of a life or death struggle, you don't have anything else to do but put this in your mouth. Now, some of you, it's not a life or death where you're going to fall down dead, but you're in a financial life or death struggle. What else do you have to do but put the word of God in your mouth? Well, I could sit around and worry and fret. And when I'm done doing that, then I'll go back to worrying a little more and fretting a little more. And when I'm done doing that, then I'll sit and I'll watch 20 hours today of television. That's going to edify me. No! That's not going to edify you. If you want to end up in the poorhouse, keep doing that. But I know you don't want to end up there. And you don't have to. You don't have to have any of this stuff that the world says. The answer is the word. Putting the word inside. The answer is dealing with whatever it is the enemy may come at, trying to use against you to choke the word. Deal with those things. That's what we've done. That's what we've had to do. And the other thing that I want to encourage you is this. Don't wait. Don't wait until the financial flood is up to your nose. Don't wait until the health crisis is up to your eyeballs. Don't wait till then. If you really want, now listen to me, as this is another hot off the press. If you really want to get ahead of the ball game, start developing your faith now when there is no fight. When there's no fight. Spend your time developing your faith regarding finances when you got a job, when you have plenty of money. Well, why would I want to do that? Well, number one, you can develop it and give more. And number two, you can have it developed for when the day comes when the enemy tries that ground and you lose your job. Develop now. Water the seed now when there is no life-threatening situation. Do it now. Get your harvest going now. Water it. Feed it. Feed perfect health in your body. Feed that. Have a harvest of that. Let other people feed off of that in your life. Listen to me. I would much rather go around with a harvest available for other people that they can glean off of than having to run To have to run to somebody else or have to build a dam when the flood is already up to my eyeballs. Hear what I'm saying. You can prepare in advance. And that's what you ought to do. Prepare in advance. Amen? Let's see if there's anything else here. Are you getting something tonight? I hope you are. Okay, verse 21. Yeah, there is some more here. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Now stop there. Okay, Jesus. Now you're talking about seeds 1 minute, and the next minute, you're talking about candlesticks and bushels. Can't you stay on topic, Jesus? I mean, please, just stay on topic. We're talking about seeds. We're talking about harvest. What in the world does candlesticks and bushels have to do with my seed producing a harvest? Tell me, Jesus. And we all know, he's talking about the new nature. You're born again. You're able to have that revelation because you have a new nature. That new nature is that light. That light that shines. The Holy Ghost comes into that new nature. He's able to shine that light. That's the place that the revelation is going to come. He's pointing right here. He's gone from talking about the seed to talking about the revelation of the seed. Verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You have a new nature. You're not in the dark anymore. You have a new nature. That seed is supposed to produce in you. And the only reason that it doesn't produce is because somehow the enemy has been able to come in and either through deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, persecution, afflictions, any one of those things, he's been allowed to choke that word, to render it unfruitful. So your assignment is to deal with the areas inside of you that are susceptible to those things, put them to death, and then you're assured of 100-fold harvest on your seed. There's nothing the enemy can do when you've got those things out from inside of you. What is he going to pull on? What's he going to do to stop you? You're not stoppable because you've got a new nature. Because your seed, the seed will go and produce inside of you. You're superhuman. Oh, let's get more excited than that. I want you to see that, who you are. See who you are, and you'll stop praying prayers for things that's already yours. Are you getting it now? There's no use praying for something that's yours. Why don't I have it, Mark? Because you don't believe it. You don't believe that you are who you are. That's all that it is. You have to believe this. This is what will sustain you when they tell you you have to die. This will sustain you when they tell you you've lost all your money, you've lost your job, you've lost your home. This will produce for you. Because he's made you more than an overcomer. All of the power of darkness is under your feet in Ephesians chapter 2. Just read it. Read it and find out who you are. It's only a matter of not believing it. And I myself, I'm still trying to grasp this, believe it, let this revelation go off inside of myself. I'm with you. I'm in the same boat you're in. But what I want you to see is this. This is what he wants for us. This is what life is all about. Amen? Amen. Let's read a little bit further. 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Here we're still talking about the new nature, and those that have it, to them more shall be given. Those that don't have it, even what they think they have, the Jews under the law, thinking that what they have is going to be all that's necessary, they're going to find out it's not enough. You have to have a new nature. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the year. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. As I look out over this congregation, there are some of you in different areas of your life. You've got the blade. Some of you have the ear. Some area of your life, you may have the full corn in the year. When it comes to healing, you may have the full corn in the ear. When it comes to finances, you may have the blade. You may be at different places in your believing process. But wherever you are, realize this. As long as you continue to water that seed, you're going to have a harvest. And don't stop at 30-fold. Go for the ultimate yield of 100-fold. Deal with the stuff inside of you that he's going to use to try and choke it off. And get the ultimate. We just don't know who we are. We can't. If we could only see what he sees when he looks at us, he sees these giants of people with this power, victorious in every area. That's who you are. That's who you are. We just have to see it for ourselves. Have the revelation of that's who I know that's who I am. A living, breathing revelation. And then you'll walk that way. Amen? Did you get something out of that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.